This here Gambit, and I stole this episode of Tooncast just for you, Shad.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Welcome to episode 26 of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, Steve Joe Mike, and joining me once again is Sketch 1984. Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm a little
cool.
A little tired.
We're going to be talking about that great X-Men cartoon, Wolverine and the X-Men. I loved this show.
I did too.
So to just kind of jump right into it, setting the stage, Wolverine and the X-Men is an American cartoon series by Marvel Animation. It is the fourth animated adaptation of the X-Men characters, other three being prior to the X-Men, the X-Men animated series, X-Men Evolution. The overall plot here, there is a sudden explosion at the Xavier Mansion, which initially perceived among the X-Men to be an attempted attack by an unknown assailant, targeted at telepaths, particularly involving Professor Charles Xavier and Jean Grey, who consequently go missing in the immediate aftermath. The resulting trauma caused the X-Men team to disband and go their separate ways, leaving Xavier's once highly revered League of Mutants Peace Preservers out of commission. Due to the heavy losses of the Professor, Jean, and the Mansion, and many of the X-Men have withered in their faith towards the stability of their former team and have since detached themselves from their former community. Some examples include Cyclops' subsequent isolation and drunkenness resulting from Jean's disappearance, Storm's relocation back to her home continent of Africa, and Iceman's move back into his parents' home in the quiet suburbs. The one thing that I thought was really interesting with this series was that in X-Men 92, you had Bishop and Cable time traveling back from the future.
Mm-hmm.
In X-Men Emo, you really had no time travel, hardly at all, unless, you know, you count Apocalypse. And this, you have something really, really strange where in the future, everything is destroyed, and Xavier wakes up out of his coma that he's been in for the last 20 years, and he can communicate with the past. So I thought they did the time travel. Instead of having Xavier travel back to the past or having whoever travel back to the past, I thought this series did a very unique thing with, you know, the telepathy and all that stuff. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I'm still trying to kind of figure out how that even works, but
well, he has Cerebro in the future,
and apparently Cerebro in the future can talk to mutants in the past.
Yes.
X-Men science.
Yeah, no, there is no science with X-Men. It's either do or do not.
Do or do not. There is no try.
That's right.
Yeah, I like the two timelines going at the same time.
Yeah.
Changing as the stories progressed.
Yeah. I did not watch this series initially when it was airing on TV. I don't know why I didn't.
It's kind of hard to catch. It was on Nicktoons.
Okay, well, there you go. That's probably why I never saw it. It was on Nicktoons, and I don't get Nicktoons. Okay. I was always curious about it, and it finally hit Netflix a number of months ago, so I was like, oh, cool, I should check this out. And obviously I would have had to have watched it eventually because of this podcast, but No, I went into it with a really open mind. I thought it was pretty cool. I saw maybe an episode and a half at a friend's house when it actually was airing because they did have Nicktoons. And it's a pretty damn good show. It's a good storyline. Scott is essentially an older version of his emo self. I mean, he kind of gets past it. He's not as emo as he was in Evolution. Of course, here he's not a teenager either, but I mean,
This
adult.
he's just angry. Not depressed so much as angry.
I think where all the emo-ness for this series goes to is Rogue. She needs to get her panties unclenched or whatever. I don't know. Get that knot out of her panties or something, because holy shit. I think that's where they kind of went after the movies in this series. The whole
Yeah,
Wolverine.
there's definitely some allusions to the movies.
The whole Wolverine Rogue relationship. I think that's where this series kind of picked that up. Overall, it was a pretty damn good story. I'm sad that it only got one season.
Yeah, it's a darn shame.
I don't know how this only got one season, yet that
To
shit from
me,
last week.
this was in the golden period in which Marvel, under the management of like Chris Yost and Joshua Fine, put out really good cartoons. This show, Spectacular Spider-Man, and the first season of Avengers: Earth's Mightiest Heroes, I also feel really stack up quite well. All three of these, some of my favorite superhero cartoons, honestly. And all short-lived. Sad.
I just don't understand. Like, the storytelling was so good in this.
Only the good die young.
I know. This is what I'm saying. Like, how can you have shit be on air for 4 years, and yet when something good comes along, you only give it a year? Or not a year, but like, one season. That makes no sense.
Yeah, there was supposed to be a second season of this show, but like they couldn't get the funding or whatever, and the whole rights situation was a little messed up because Marvel had most of the control. It wasn't like with Sony and two Spider-Man cartoons. So they actually had the control here, but for whatever reason, they just couldn't work out getting that second season produced. Like they couldn't get the funding, and maybe Nicktoons pulled out, but it's still in Nicktoons' hands, even though Disney bought Marvel, which is kind of an interesting situation. Yeah, it's just
I just don't
it
understand,
was a
like,
perfect storm that prevented this show from continuing. So sad.
so the mouse buying Marvel essentially killed this show lovely.
I would say that it pretty much put the kibosh on this and Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's no big loss for
And
that show.
somehow both Superhero Squad Show and Iron Man Armored Adventures were able to get another 26 episodes despite the same situation. So I wouldn't blame it all on the mouse, but I'd blame it a bit.
So getting into the voice cast and the characters, you have Wolverine, who this time is voiced by Steve Bloom. Steve Bloom also voiced Wolverine in Superhero Squad Show. This is obviously a more serious portrayal, whereas that is more of a comic portrayal. And when I say comic, I don't mean.
Voice in that is hilarious. It's like, it's like this.
Don't call me Wolvie.
Don't call me Wolvie.
I love that line. So hilarious. Other cast of characters, you have Beast, Cyclops, as I said before, Emma Frost, Professor Charles Xavier, Jean Grey, Storm, Shadowcat, Iceman, Nightcrawler, Angel, Bishop, Forge, which, yeah. Forge in both of the later X series, X Emo and this, Forge has sucked in both of them. Magneto, Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, Avalanche, Blob, Toad, Mr. Sinister, Gambit, Rogue, Domino, Marrow, which didn't even know that she was voiced by Tara Strong.
I didn't
Vanisher.
know that at first either.
Yeah, I didn't even know that at all. I would have to say, just going by the voice cast, I like a majority of this voice cast, but there are certain characters I could do without.
Personally, I did not care for Phil Lamar's Gambit.
No, I did. I loved it. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
It was better than the Gambit in Emo.
Yeah, that's true. Who did you find in the voice cast that you did not particularly like?
It's not really the voice cast I don't like. It's more so the character. I fucking hate Mojo in Mojo Vision.
Oh, but I loved Charlie Adler in that role.
Okay, yeah, no. Charlie Adler as Mojo is great, but even in the old
Very
92
true.
series, I have never liked the Mojo Vision when they bring Mojo Vision in. I mean, I just never liked that. It adds no plot to anything.
Yeah.
I mean, Mojo Vision and oh God, what's the Mojo and Mongol need to get together and just have one big show. Seriously, they do.
It's the Mojo and Mongol show.
DC meets Marvel. I preferred Blob in this over Emo, because in Emo, Blob was, oh God, that was the, I forgot to mention that last week. That was one of my biggest issues with X-Men Evolution, was Blob was so emo. He was so, Blob in X-Men Evolution was more emo than Scott almost at times. It was just so
Hard
bad.
to be in the first season, which I don't recall that well.
Yes. But no, I mean, all of these characters, absolutely loved all the characters, loved all the voices. It was just a great overall voice cast. I like that they went outside the box and didn't try to get a previous voice actor for Xavier. They had someone completely different and new for this one. I mean, it's still Professor X. It's still that say I actually thought at one point that it was David Kaye, or I don't know. At one point, I did think it was him, but I don't know. It was just really, really awesome to have a different interpretation of Professor X in this. I was really shocked that Lex Luthor is Mr. Sinister.
Yeah.
I was re like, because as soon as I heard Sinister speak in this, I was like, hey, wait a second. What's Lex Luthor doing here? Good old
Old.
Clancy Brown.
Good old Clancy Brown. So good for villains.
Yep.
So good for villains.
Yes, he is. But overall, no, I absolutely love the voice cast in this. Very, very good stuff.
Great, absolutely great. Fred Tatasciore is beast. Great. I see Nolan North got his prelim in for a whole lot of yelling as Superboy as Cyclops in this one. Oh, mad all the Good stuff there. Good stuff there. Always awesome. Kevin Michael Richardson as Bishop.
And again, like we mentioned a couple weeks ago, when we were talking about GLTAS, even though I know it's KMR, it's a completely different tone of his voice. Even though I know that that's him, like we were saying in the GLTAS episode a few weeks ago. Even though I know that's him, it's a completely different version of it. It's like that dude has a million versions of himself stored up, and he can change and modify them to whatever character he needs a
Yeah.
voice for.
Another voice actor that I felt accomplished that was Tom Kane as Magneto.
Oh, yeah.
On paper, I think Tom Kane is Magneto? I don't know. And then as watching the show, I was like, yeah, he did a really good job.
Yeah, he did. He did.
He sold me on it. He sold me on it. I wasn't so sure, but he sold me on it.
Yep.
Yeah, I really like this cast. I think this is the first, and even though you didn't like this version of Forge, I think this is the first time I ever heard Roger Craig Smith, and he was Forge in this. Interesting thing, Mark Hildreth was in X-Men Evolution as Angel. In this show, he was Quicksilver. So he did one of those
Switcheroos,
voice in the US. Which, it's kind of surprising that David Kaye isn't in this cast anywhere, because he's been doing a lot of LA stuff lately. But maybe that was slightly before he moved. Yeah.
Yes, you have heard Roger Craig Smith and other stuff. I guarantee you have.
Well, I mean, when I saw this show, I think this is the
Oh, okay. Because I was gonna say, well, I don't know, because he was Baiku or Baiku in Naruto in 05. He was most recently he was L5 Orm Royal Guard 3 and Gamma Leader in Young Justice.
Yeah, he's on lots of cartoons now.
Yeah.
I hear him a ton on Regular Show, for instance.
Ugh.
But yeah, I think this is the first time I at least heard him in an American cartoon, because he did a little anime dubbing for a while, much like Steve Bloom and Liam O'Brien. This actually has a lot of people who did a lot of anime, which I
Yeah.
like Kate Higgins was the Scarlet Witch. She was Sakura on Naruto, Talho on Eureka 7, which you've probably never heard of.
No, I don't do anime.
Yeah, I know. And Kari Wahlgren, she's in a lot of anime, and she was Emma Frost in a few
Emma
characters.
Frost.
And she was Haruko on FLCL, which is a pretty popular anime. And
Yeah.
even Jennifer Hale's done some anime, but that's not even close to the beginnings of her works. But
See,
Yuri
like,
Lowenthal, he was big on anime for a while. But Yuri Lowenthal, it's always the same voice. It's always
yeah, he it's Ben
Lowenthal.
10. It's Ben 10.
It's
And the
10.
funny thing is, until I looked at the voice cast here at BehindTheVoiceActors.com, I don't know what it was. Like, normally I can recognize almost, unless she's doing Killer Frost, I can recognize every inflection Jennifer Hale does. I did not know she was Jean Grey.
Really?
I
Oh,
could not.
not right away.
I just didn't know. And because I looked at this and I was like, what? No, really? I like it. It's not to say that I don't like the Jean Grey voice in this. I like it. It's great. I just didn't know it was her. I mean, it was kind of like that moment a number of weeks ago when I was like, wait, was that her as Carol in GLTAS? Yup, it was. But I don't know, this she did something totally different with her voice where it didn't sound like her to me. I don't know. Who else we got in here?
Tara Strong's snuck in as X-23 and Marrow.
Yep.
And that was the case. I did not know that she was Marrow until I read it.
Yeah.
Rather surprised by that. Fred Tatasciore, of course, is Juggernaut and Hulk. It's like, well, we need another big guy voice. So let's just use Fred again.
Well, the funny thing is,
But he differentiates them really well,
oh
so.
yeah, he does. He does. The funny thing is, I mentioned Bishop earlier, which is Kevin Michael Richardson. That was not the first time I heard him in this series. The first time I heard him in the series was Shadow King, and I was like,
Oh,
no
yeah.
way, Kevin Michael Richardson in this? Awesome.
Yep. Shadow King's in here.
So,
And Phil Lamar's kind of side characters, which is interesting. Like, he's Trask.
Yeah, he's like Trask. He's
and he's Gambit, and I think
Manager.
Manager. Okay. Yeah.
Or not Vanisher. That was Steve Bloom. Who was the other one? I just saw his face there. I don't know. But yeah, no, I mean, yeah. Trask, Gambit, and... No, I think he was only Trask and Gambit.
Yeah, he was just Trask. I've noticed that a lot lately. Maybe it's because he's so busy with Futurama. But it's usually just like...
Two
not really common to show up characters in any given show these days. Like, he is in Young Justice, but he's... who was he in Young Justice? Oh, he's Aquaman in Young Justice, and, like, maybe a few minor roles that don't show up very often. So, I'm sure he's keeping busy, so that's not a concern, but...
In a few weeks, we'll be getting to Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Dumbasses.
Oh, yeah. In that one, he's
fucking Jarvis.
He's just Jarvis. I think he's really just Jarvis in that show.
I know, and it's so weird and so awesome to have him as Jarvis in that, though.
Oh, yeah. He's a great Jarvis.
Yeah. All right. Any particular characters you gravitated towards in this one?
Oh, let's see here. I like this version of Shadowcat. I liked Cyclops in this. I liked Nightcrawler. I really liked Bishop. Bishop was awesome at all times.
Yes.
Enjoyed Beast. And I like this interpretation of Wolverine. In the performance, there were times when it wasn't really working for me, and other times I was like, yeah, this is good. I like this. And because Professor X gets in on the action, quite frankly, it's good to see that for once.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Most definitely.
Didn't really gravitate towards any of the villains, per se.
I don't think Apocalypse ever spoke.
No, I don't think he did. I think he just showed up as a visual and nothing else. So really, there were different villains scattered throughout this, but the only one that you really got to spend a lot of time with was Magneto.
Was Magneto, yeah. I mean, they didn't try to pull out the whole, they didn't try to run the whole gambit with, you know, like Lady Deathstrike or the Morlocks or... I mean, they ran out Shadow King, but that's just because
they had Master Mold and...
Yeah, Master Mold is essentially a staple of X-Men. I mean, you can't have an X-Men cartoon without doing a Master Mold series of episodes. For me, as far as the characters go, this is... my second favorite version of Wolverine in animation.
I would say that.
My first, obviously, is Cal Dodd's version in X-92. I couldn't stand Rogue in this one. Absolutely. If she wasn't a traitor in the beginning, I know she wasn't at the end, but if she wasn't a traitor in the beginning, I really, really loved Emma Frost. That was just freaking awesome.
It was interesting to see her in a main character role.
Yeah.
And the whole kind of relationship with Cyclops.
Yeah. I liked Beast in this, but Beast really didn't get a whole lot. I mean, Beast was essentially a secondary character in this. It wasn't like I don't think there was anything that focused on him.
No. There was. He was just kind of
just there. Yeah,
he was just helping out.
Yeah. Overall, it's a great voice cast. It's a great cast of characters. Like I said, I've never been a fan of Mojo and Mojo Vision, so that's really the only one I really don't care for. As far as some of the production notes, the series was in pre-production stage as of April 2007. On November 4th, 2008, a second season consisting of 26 episodes was confirmed as being in production during Comic-Con 2009. Images of Season 2 were shown, consisting of Colossus, Magic, Deadpool, Jubilee, and Havoc. It was announced that...
Deadpool! Oh, that makes me sad that we don't get Deadpool.
It was announced that these characters were to appear in Season 2. Colossus was set to get a reintroductory storyline and would have been a regular character in Season 2. Sadly, the cancellation. On April 13th, 2010, Comics Continuum reported that, according to an inside source, a second season of the series seems very unlikely. On April 15th, 2010, Marvel Animation Age confirmed that the recent report that Wolverine and the X-Men will not be returning for a second season at C2E2, the Marvel Animation panel consisting of Joe Quesadilla, Arun Singh, and Josh Fine stated that...
Joe Quesadilla.
Stated that the reason for the cancellation is because they were unable to work out the financing for the show with their financing partner. Son of a bitch.
That is such a lame way to die.
Yes. This actually serves as a sequel to... vice versa. Hulk vs. Wolverine was intended as a prequel to this series. Hence why in the very beginning when we have the
Hulk show up.
The Hulk show up and he's like...
Hulk, remember!
Yeah, Hulk, remember you! Oh,
that was a great episode.
Let's see. Prior to the show's cancellation, Nolan North was set to reprise his Hulk versus role as Deadpool in a planned episode of the second season. Alex Desert, Steve Bloom, Gabriel Mann, and Fred Tatasciore all reprised their respective roles as Nick Fury, Wolverine, Bruce Banner, and the Hulk in the television series The Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Wolverine only appears briefly in the episode Meet Captain America, while Fury, Banner, and Hulk are all regular characters. Story editor Christopher Yost has confirmed that the two series exist within the same continuity.
Yay!
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
I don't see a problem with it. it's a different kind of style.
Yes.
But as far as I'm concerned, as long as they don't, you know, mess with continuity of each other, then it's
right.
Fine. I believe the producers have said that they're going to avoid anything that would make Spectacular Spider-Man out of continuity with the Avengers cartoon as well. Which I appreciate, because I like that version of Spider-Man, and I really hope that Josh Keaton voices Spider-Man when he shows up.
Stephen Bloom, Liam O'Brien, Jim Ward, and Tom Kane each return as Wolverine, Nightcrawler, Professor Xavier, and Magneto in the Marvel Superhero Squad video game. However, only Bloom and Ward reprise their roles for the characters in Superhero Squad show. Stephen Bloom, Tara Strong, Tom Kane, Susan Dillian, Jennifer Hale, and Jim Ward return to voice Wolverine, X-23, Magneto, Storm, Jean Grey, and Sentinel in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Fate of Two Worlds, and Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting that they're using a lot of the same actors multiple times now, because they didn't really do that before this point.
No, they
haven't. As far as Marvel goes, they certainly did it with DC, but
yeah. They
didn't really do it with Marvel up until this point, which is kind of nice. You know, it's nice to have those iconic, which, in my opinion, makes it so, while Cal Dodd is the Wolverine of that generation, Stephen Bloom is fast becoming the Wolverine of the current generation.
Oh, yeah. Steve Bloom's Wolverine is by far... the best Wolverine that we've gotten.
I'm going to make a kind of a bold play, but I feel like what I saw of that Studio Madhouse Japanese animated X-Men series, not necessarily the Wolverine one, but that X-Men series, while also having a lot of the same cast, it really feels like a pseudo continuation of this show where it leaves off. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. If it's anime, I don't even care if it's a continuation of it. As much as I love this show, I've never liked when they screw up continuations. Or, a perfect example is TV shows. When a TV show ends and like, oh, well, here, let's do the next season in comic form. And let's turn everybody into vampires and do this and do that and blah, blah. I've just never liked that. Either give it another fucking season, finish it off right, or just don't fucking do it.
Yeah, I see a certain amount of appeal to continuing a story in comics like Greg Wiseman did with Gargoyles. I know there was a Gargoyles comic that he did. I don't know if it was necessarily in continuity.
Right, yeah.
I see the appeal of that idea, but it really just makes you feel cheated that it's not animated.
Yep.
But it's better than nothing, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, that's like the 40th episode of the MYP Masters cartoon. Here's storyboards for what the 40th episode could have been like if they actually let us to animate the damn thing. It's so fucking stupid.
That kind of stuff's infuriating. Like, I saw some production materials for an episode of the 2003 Ninja Turtles that was never made.
Wow.
It actually seemed like a pretty interesting episode, so I was disappointed that didn't happen. But yeah, this show is
Yes.
good. Really good.
And as far as it's stacking up in stuff within its own franchise, between this X-92 Evolution and I would rank it, this is way above Evolution. The story that was told in this was more engaging for me.
Definitely more engaging.
I think I watched 13 on 13. I took a day and I watched 13 episodes, and I took another day and I watched the last 13 episodes. And I watched them straight through each day. And it was just a great overall series.
It was. It touched on a lot of things that, for instance, Evo didn't touch on. And it
Yeah.
also touched on some of the same things, but did it much better.
Oh yes.
Like the whole Weapon X stuff
Yeah.
was way better handled in this show. Though you don't get to see much of X-23, so maybe that's a blessing. But when she did show up, she was like really useful, so that's cool. But they did a good job with the Weapon X stuff. Even what little they use of Mr. Sinister and his plot line was
Yeah.
well handled. Obviously, the Master Mold storyline that was going throughout, that was well handled. And even though it almost feels tacked on, because it was sort of building in pieces throughout the season, the Inner Circle storyline fit really well in with the rest of the stuff. And I like that this focused on a situation when the X-Men were persecuted
Yeah.
and mutants were persecuted, because that's really the most interesting storyline of X-Men that
Yeah.
people can relate to due to the allusions to racism and such.
Look at the first episode. You have a couple, hiding Wolverine I think the only real thing I can say negative about this show is I hated when they called the MRD Martys. I just didn't like that. I was like, wait a second, where's McFry? Get in here, McFry. Sorry.
Marty's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so as
It
far
gives you a
as
lot of tension throughout the season to have that situation going on. Plus, Jean was missing, and they had to. They juggled a lot of storylines, but they were able to do it with enough breathing room that you didn't feel choked by it, which a lot of shows that try to throw a lot of stories at you don't succeed in.
Right.
I
Well,
gotta say, props to this show for doing that.
the one thing that did confuse me was the future Master Mold. Was that supposed to be Jean?
No, I don't believe so. I believe Master Mold was a program. Always.
Right, but instead of a male program, it was a female program, is what I'm saying.
I think that was just an aesthetic change.
Okay.
Because in that scenario, well, I don't really want to spoil it because people should just watch this show. But in that scenario, like, the Phoenix wasn't even necessarily Jean.
Yeah. The Phoenix was just the Phoenix. It wasn't...
Like, it could have been that point when Jean was not controlling the Phoenix.
Yeah, essentially, yes.
She was the one that was able to control it to an extent.
Yeah. And I liked how... I thought this is so funny, but I like how they essentially free a little orange bird, and that orange bird turns into the Phoenix.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of a cool little little thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as far as stuff that are in the same genre, you got like X-Men 92, Spider-Man 94... JL, JLU, BTAS, STAS, all that kind of stuff. Evolution. I think this, as far as a compelling storyline, I think this could rank up with a few episodes from Justice League. And just like as far as the storytelling, it's not like right at Justice League level, but it's like one step down. It's the closest compared to any other X cartoon as far as level of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, I mean, even in their comedic bits with Toad, I mean, they just, you know, left Toad on screen for like a couple seconds and then it goes back to actually telling a story. They don't focus on the comic relief in this show.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot less comic relief characters. I mean, there's essentially... a little bit of Iceman, a little bit of Shadowcat being goofy, a little bit of Forge being goofy, and then you have Toad, who's really the only member of the Brotherhood that wasn't serious all the time.
Yeah, yeah. As far as a show from the past decade, man. See, this is another one. I'm not sure what the... 'cause the story in this was so good...
I compare it to Young Justice.
Okay.
Because of, well, that's not really the same kind of use of telling us storyline that would happen in the future. But, but you know, it's a team-based show.
Right.
Maybe I shouldn't have thrown that one out there. I mean, you can certainly compare it to X-Men Evolution. It's easily better than X-Men Evolution.
Yes.
It's just kind of an interesting situation because you have the fragmented team coming back together. Right. And there isn't really another show that has done that lately. But as far as just telling a good superhero story that has a lot of plot threads and manages to tell them all effectively, I'd say it's kind of similar to Young Justice in that respect.
Yeah.
But I like Young Justice better.
Yeah.
This is in my opinion, this is the X-Men series that I enjoyed the most, but I'm going to look back on 92 and give it another shot.
Yeah. As far as 0 to 4, I would give this a 4. It is on DVD, but it's in fragmented bits. Canada got a complete series.
They did a complete series release on DVD and Blu-ray. And
for Canada, though.
No, they did it in the U.S. too. I have the DVD of the first, of the complete season. So.
Oh, okay.
Get the season set. But since it's on Netflix, you can just watch it there. But I would actually recommend, just in case this ever goes off of Netflix, to pick it up on DVD or Blu-ray if you can find it. It should be relatively cheap. Like, I collected the single volumes when I didn't know that there was going to be a release like that. So I had the first three, and then I picked up the, like, two more that were starting the second season. I never opened them and found out that the set was coming out, and it would have been cheaper to return those. Like, for the cost of what I paid for those two, I was able to buy the entire season. And then I gave the other three to a friend so he could check out the show.
Well, yeah, everyone should at least watch this show once, and this is a show I could go back to. Like, if I wanted a compelling team up Marvel cartoon, I would go back and I would watch this again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really keeps you engaged through the 26 episodes.
Yes. As far as some merchandise, Hasbro did produce a Wolverine and the X-Men toy line as a tie-in to the series. The first wave consisted of Avalanche, Beast, Colossus, Cyclops, Logan, not in classic outfit, Iceman, Magneto, Wolverine. Wave 2 contained the new figures Nightcrawler and a black uniform Wolverine. Wave 3, the final wave, added Forge, Toad to the line. The toy line ended before any of the main females of the series were turned into toys. Notably missing were Emma Frost, Jean Grey, Shadowcat, Rogue, and Storm. Well, of course, girls' toys don't sell.
That's always the standby. That sounds like a pretty weak toy line in general, though. I don't even remember that having a toy line, so I guess that's basically what you have to say about that. I mean, they were making Justice League Unlimited toys well after the show was done.
Yeah, so. JLU just ended last year, so...
The toy line for JLU actually just ended last year? That's crazy.
Yep.
That's crazy.
And they announced, I think it was it was either 2010 Comic-Con or last year's Comic-Con, that they still had like 30 or so figures that, because they showed off, I think it was the 2010 Comic-Con, they showed off like future Superman with a beard, and they showed off future Static, but we had yet to get those between 2010 and now, and they said, oh, well, the line's ending, but we are still going to find a way to get these figures out to you, so those three packs that they announced are still going to be coming out, but the line is essentially over. Hell, Mattel just canceled the Young Justice line. I don't know why the fuck they did that, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm not understanding what happened with there. But I heard those toys were pretty crappy, so I guess that explains it.
Probably.
Attention, toy makers. Kids can tell when toys are poorly made.
Yes.
I mean, I look at the action figures when I was a kid. I look at my old Ninja Turtles toys, and I was like, these are so much better made than most of the crap today.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Yep. All right, so I think we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back with final thoughts.
This is Phil Lamar, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and AnimationAficionados.com.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what's up, Ryan?
You know how we talked about doing a podcast? Well, I have some ideas run past you.
Yeah, what do you got?
I thought we should base it on comics.
Well, there's thousands of podcasts about comics. You kind of want to narrow it down a bit.
Well, what about Star Wars?
Still, there's a ton of those out there. What else you got?
We could always do G.I. Joe comics.
There's still a ton of those out there.
What about the 80s franchises?
There's already a few of those as well.
Then let's forget about comics. Let's focus on toys and action figures.
Dude, then we're back to thousands of podcasts.
Well, is anyone covering all those things I mentioned in one podcast?
No one would be crazy enough to do that.
Then that's what we'll do.
Are you serious?
Yep. Come and listen to Star Joe's podcast. You can find us at starjoes.com or find us on iTunes.
Yeah, we cover comics, TV shows, and movies based on Star Wars, G.I. Joe, and all your 80s favorite franchises.
And don't forget about the toys.
How could we forget about the toys? We also do tour reviews to help you decide what to add to your collection.
So come listen to Star Joe's, where we hold nothing back, provide quality entertainment, and remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Yo, Joe!
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here, of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by GeekCast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh. Join Steve, Mike and sometimes Tava for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble MASK. The Geekcast Radio Network has launched MASK to Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of MASK will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. MASK to Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us at iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Movie Week in Review is the Geekcast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on geekcastradio.com.
So we are back. Final thoughts on Wolverine and the X-Men. My only final thought is people need to watch this show.
Yes. I completely agree. It's a darn shame it didn't get more episodes, but I like that this show had the decency to tell a good story, have a lot of stuff going on, and essentially conclude the story that was going on in that season,
right?
But leave you begging for more and leave you with just a glimpse of what could come. I don't understand why more shows can't accomplish that, to tell a story in a season that, if worst case scenario, you don't get any more, you at least leave the viewer satisfied.
Yeah. I was very satisfied, but I'm not satisfied at the same time because I know it's not going to have another season, which, again, you know, just leave people hanging off of a fucking cliff here.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Because you think, like, when the team flashes forward, you think that, you know, when we flash forward back to the future and Charles is in Cerebro, it looks all well and good. And then all of a sudden you flash up to all these pyramids and then Apocalypse. And it's like, oh, God, this show is just getting so good. And then, fuck, they yanked it right from under us.
And really, for nothing, because it's not like the case with Spider-Man when they had another show
right
lining up. It's not like the case with Avengers, where there's another show being lined up. They're just, nah, we're done. We just don't think that this show's gonna, you know. It's like, how can you cancel an X-Men show? X-Men is so huge for Marvel. How can they just... Personally, I blame it on the fact that it was on Nicktoons, and not enough people saw it.
Yep.
If that... Well, I don't know where it could have succeeded better, honestly. Might not have lasted any longer on Cartoon Network, for instance, but I really wanted it to be on Cartoon Network because that Fantastic Four show was on Cartoon Network.
Oh, God, don't remind
me. I was like, oh, yeah, Marvel can be on Cartoon Network now. And then, oh, but then it went to Nicktoons. Why did that happen?
Ugh.
Why wasn't this on Friday nights with Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and Batman, The Brave and the Bold? I mean, lucky people in Canada where those shows did air in the same channel. I think they all aired on Teletoon.
Yeah, Teletoon or YTV or one of them damn things up there in Canada. All right, so I think that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are still ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each and every post. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. You can also email us, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TuneCast Beyond. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Sketch1984.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. Of Call the voicemail line. Tell us what show you're the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. If you have your own headset or microphone on your computer, you can just go to the website. On the right-hand side, there's a button that says Send Voicemail Now. You can click that. It'll send it to our email address. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be once again hopping into the DeLorean for more DeLorean time with Freakazoid.
Dun, 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 dun. Freakazoid.
For now, I am DFG and Mike with
Sketch 1984.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
The Booger Beast.
Right. I quit. You win. Kleenex!
My hero.
Super Toon Extraordinaire. Freakazoids, Freakazoids. Runs around in underwear. Freakazoids, Freakazoids. Press his watching to be seen. Freakazoids, Freakazoids. There's something that is on TV. Freakazoids, Freakazoids. His brains are floating. It has a chocolate coating. Textbook case for Sigmund Freud. Freakazoids, Freakazoids.
Check out Dexter Douglas, your computer ace. Went surfing on the internet and was dashed to cyberspace. He turned into the Freakazoid, strong and super quick. He drove